Okay, so now that we're on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis 37b, if you're good at counting, it's 18 lines from the bottom. First word on the line, Vahashto. Okay, we had different ways. We had a machlokes if Chodosh applies outside of Eretz Yisrael or not. It depended how you learned the word Moshav and the teachings of Moshav, if that's a teaching of itself, if it depends on if you come into the land and then the word Moshav, is that a teaching that Moshav means that after you conquer the land, that's when the mitzvah applies, or others learned it's a mitzvah everywhere. Be that as it may, the Gemara now, this is like a cleanup part of the Gemara now. It's going to answer some of the questions. In fact, it's going to answer one of Shelley's questions that gets asked and answered today. The Gemara comes back to the original rule of the Mishnah that says any commandment that's not dependent on the land applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to talk about those various mitzvahs that are the mitzvahs of the body that depend outside of Eretz Yisrael, yet that very specific wording of Moshav, which could indicate only in Eretz Yisrael, is still used on those mitzvahs. So how do we understand using Moshvo Seichem? We'll see where these mitzvahs apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. How do we understand the specific wordings that exist? And there'll be about, I don't know, five or six different mitzvahs the Gemara is going to go through and question the wording of the Torah based on the rule that we said, if it's not a mitzvah depending on the land, so why, and the reverse, if it's a mitzvah that is dependent on the land. We'll see different questions over here. So that's what the Gemara starts off and saying. Now that you've already said the rule of our Mishnah, that chol v'asaguf, mitzvahs that are obliged upon the person's body. No heges bein Eretz Yisrael, bein b'chutz la'aretz, they're conducted in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Can you please explain the following? Moshav, because of Rachmona Gabi Shabbos Lomali. What's the purpose of using the word Moshav when you're talking about the mitzvah of Shabbos? Right? Now, what do we have by Shabbos? It says, "Lo savaru eish, you should not light fire bechol moshvo seichem, in all the places where you live." Right? So it's a personal mitzvah. It's not dependent on the land. It applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now, therefore, why would the Torah have to say bechol moshvo seichem? And that was Shelley's question. In other words, why do you have to say it? We know Shabbos is a mitzvah of the body. It doesn't depend on living in Eretz Yisrael. You have to keep Shabbos everywhere. So why did the Torah say, Bechol Moshvo Seichem, wherever you live? And that's what the Gemara initially wanted to bring a proof, to say that Moshav means certain things. We had a Kal V'chomer. If light mitzvahs apply everywhere in the world, everywhere, certainly Shabbos is the strongest mitzvah applies everywhere. So why do you have to say Moshav, Bechol Moshvo Seichem? What's the necessity for writing that? Gemara says, it's just we needed to, because we could have thought erroneously otherwise. Why? Well, where is Shabbos also written? Besides by the building of the Mishkan, Shabbos is in part, we just read it today. We read it today in the Torah reading. Parshas Pinchas, Shabbos was written in the Moadim, in the holidays. And Shabbos and holidays are very much interconnected, without question. So therefore, we could have possibly made a mistake that will require us to say Bechol Moshvo Seichem. Why? Because if we didn't write Bechol Moshvo Seichem, I would erroneously thought, Salka Daita Chamina, I would have thought to say, Hoil Ubi Inyana De Moadis Ksiv, since it's written together with the holidays. Now, what do we know that's very critical for a holiday to be a holiday? What has to happen before the holiday for the holiday to come on the specific date it's supposed to be? Rosh Chodesh. We have to, the Beis Din, we don't appreciate it now because we don't have a Beis Din doing it now. It's not even set for us. But you have to have a Beis Din declare the new moon. If they don't declare the new moon, I don't know when the holiday is. Right? So what do we know? That holidays require an a prior declaration of the Rosh Chodesh that then enables us to know when the holiday happens. So I would think, since Shabbos is written together with the Moad, and we'd make a hekesh, we'd compare Shabbos to the holidays as follows. I would think, Tiboi Kiddush, it would require a sanctification of the Jewish court, just as calendars require it. This note going all through all the holidays. I already explained it. But let's look at the fifth line here. Similarly, one might have thought that the Shabbos too requires sanctification of the court. How would that work? That Bezin should pronounce each Sunday as the first day of the week, and so that the seventh day thereby would be sanctified. It was just like we have the rabbis say, we are declaring that this is Rosh Chodesh. And since it's Rosh Chodesh, now we can start the count and make it be a holiday on the date of the calendar. So I might think that Beis Din should give a requirement to sanctify the first day of the month, they have a requirement to sanctify the first day of the week. Because the truth of the matter really is, do you really need the Beis Din to sanctify the moon? Isn't the new moon going anyway on its own, become the new moon? Right? And you don't think the rabbis, they didn't know the synodic month? They didn't know all the math that was behind it? They had all of NASA's information at their fingertips. And you think they had did they really need witnesses to tell us that that's actually when Rosh Chodesh was? They certainly knew when it was, but still God wanted them to be involved in the process. Look, I think they have it somewhere in the, somewhere in the long note, he had that. Here. 1 second. Right, okay, anyway. But that's what we would have thought.
I can get it for the first Shabbos. For the first Sunday. Okay, you got it. Then you know. Once you do it once, you just count 7 days.
Okay, Shelley, once you know, Shelley, the synodic month, if you know how long it takes for the moon to renew itself, that's a number. It's a number to 10 decimal points. Okay? And Chazal knew it. They knew it. Because the Gemara tells us explicitly, they knew the synodic month, which the non-Jewish world did not know for a long time. Okay? So if you're in a Bez, you know it's 29 point, you know, days. So you know when Rosh Chodesh is without even looking at the moon. Without looking at the moon. So obviously, God wants something more. And once I know the first Rosh Chodesh, I know the rest for the rest of time. So you could say the same thing. Once I make Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I just go into the calendar. So just because one is a month and one is a week?
One is painfully obvious. You count 7 daylights.
Well, the moon is painfully obvious. It's 29.1 extra days. It's clear. The amount is clear. It's just a different level of knowledge. But it's just as automatic. You're because it's a smaller amount, you're thinking it's easier. If you have a computer now, 29.8, you know exactly, I can tell you 25 years from now when Rosh Chodesh Shvat is going to be in the year 2037. What do I need to mess with? Obviously, Hashem wants us to be involved in the process of sanctifying the moon, and there's a whole spiritual equation to this, that we give Kedusha to the month. We give Kedusha. That's the real vort. It's not the scientific visual observation, and that God says that you really wouldn't need it. God could have told you, this is the calculation. And they did know the calculation. So why bother sending anybody? Does NASA need to send anybody to tell us when March is starting? I'm just saying, you don't need it. But God wanted our human involvement. He said, I want you to get up and I want you to make certain pronouncements. So why couldn't I want every... We want people to take Shabbos seriously. Well, first of all, I want people to take Rosh Chodesh seriously. That what did Hashem want to say? That you are in control of time. There's a whole Musar behind the mitzvah, obviously. I want you to know it's a new month. It's not just the calendar says Zoi and just flips another month. Like, you know, okay, it's March, 2 days ago, it's March 1st. Now, does any non-Jew's attitude any different now about looking at the winter because it's March 1st? Nothing. It's nothing. But a Yid on Rosh Chodesh was supposed to be a real holiday. If we didn't simmer the golden calf, it would have been a major holiday. And what do you mean? It's a whole new spiritual energy. It's this. And when we say it, we can change time. There's all kinds of amazing spiritual benefits that go, even though it'll happen anyway without them. But God said, I want the Bezdin to be totally involved. And as a matter of fact, the Bezdin would make a mistake. If they would, for whatever reason, make a mistake and say the wrong is Rosh Chodesh, God said, I will even change the spiritual energies based on their mistake. That's how far it goes.
Did it happen?
It don't matter if it happened or not. You know, it could happen. For example, if it would be a very cloudy day in all of Israel when the new moon should come, then the month's going to be a day later, and it'll get adjusted in the next month. The months can either be, it can only be 29 or 30. It's not a lot of leeway here. But if it was supposed to be a 29-day month, really, and God made it cloudy, then he obviously wanted the spiritual energies to come a day later. So, same thing we could say. God says, I want there to be Shabbos, but it's only going to be Shabbos if you guys say it is. Same way. I want to be involved in the spiritual creation of the Shabbos. So, it's not a large leap to move from one to the other. If I need Bezdin to turn Rosh Chodesh, which is just as automatic. The moon is just as automatic as daylight. It's the same thing. So, I would have thought you'd have to do it. Kamash Malan comes, the Torah says, nope. By stating that extra word Moshav, so therefore it doesn't need a specific calculation. That's the Chiddush. Sanctification of the court must be done specifically with the Bezdin in the land of Judea. Right? That's where, for Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh has to be done in Yerushalayim. Okay? There when the Torah states, the Sabbath in all your dwellings, in effect, teaches the Sabbath is not subject to the sanctification of the Judean Bezdin. Rather, every seventh day, beginning from the time of the creation, is automatically consecrated as a Sabbath. It's Shabbos wherever you live, even if there's no Bezdin to tell you when it is. Right? Similarly, with Rosh Chodesh, you know what? Taka was for quite a while. Jews didn't know when a certain holiday. If you lived too far from Israel, you didn't know when the holiday was. You really didn't. And it wasn't B'chol Mosh V'Seichem. Pesach, we weren't sure it was this day or the next day. You had to have 2 days of Yom Tov. Shabbos, we're saying, does not depend on the Bezdin. B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, wherever you are, it's every seventh day. You don't need sanctification and be in a specific place where it's sanctified. And now we understand that Shabbos does not require Bezdin. Shabbos is God's, totally determines when Shabbos is. Well, and that's why we said today, what did we say today at the end of the bracha of the Musaf? Baruch atah Hashem, Mekadesh, Yisrael, Vahazmanim. Hashem sanctified the Jewish people and the holidays. What do we say on Shabbos by the middle bracha? Baruch atah Hashem, Mekadesh, Hashabbos. Why don't we say Mekadesh, Yisrael, Vahashabbos? Do you understand the question? The answer is, Hashem sanctified the Jews, and because we're holy, we then make Rosh Chodesh holy. We make the holidays holy. Mekadesh Yisrael, since the Jewish people are holy, he gave us the power that the Zmanim, the holidays, only become holidays because of the sanctity of the Jewish people. Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, and that's what we say in Rosh Chodesh. Shabbos, because of this word, B'chol Moshe Rosecha, Mekadesh HaShabbos, Hashem makes the Shabbos holy. He doesn't need the Jewish people to make the Shabbos holy. And that's the understanding of the bracha. Okay. So that's the first question and answer, why it says Moshav by Shabbos.
The point is, it doesn't say
what?
7 days holy, you keep the seventh day, but it doesn't say in all your dwellings there, all over the place.
He only has to tell you once by Shabbos. How many times does he have to say it? Shabbos is mentioned.
Maybe he's talking, God is telling us about lighting fires in your dwellings. And therefore it has to do with a specific.
Obviously, the rabbis understand how to learn the psukim, right? Shabbos is mentioned who knows how many times, at least a dozen different times. Every time, the question is why is it mentioned a dozen? Every time there's one aspect of Shabbos is being revealed to us. So here, B'chol Mosh V'Seichem, we're being told it means wherever you live, that's where you keep the Shabbos. That's what they're telling you. You don't have to say it more than once. Once you say it once by Shabbos, it means once. Maybe you want to learn a different way. The rabbi said Hashem understood that this is how they learned the Pasuk. Okay, so now we'll move to another example. Again, the question is going to be, if the mitzvah does not depend on the land, what do you need the word Moshe for? So we move on to the next mitzvah, the next topic. Moshe of the Kosev Rachmana Gabe Chelev Vidom Lomali. The Torah says it's an avera to eat certain forbidden fats, and it's forbidden to eat blood. And in the context of that pasuk, the word Moshav is mentioned. Look at in the footnote, right in the middle there. It says, by the prohibition of blood and fats. Chukas Olam, it's an eternal law. L'doro Seichem, for your generations. B'chol Moshvo Seichem, in all your dwellings. Kol Chele v'chol Dam lo so chele. You can't eat any forbidden fats and any blood. Right? So therefore, it says, in wherever you live. Now, this is a mitzvah that depends on your body. So, of course, once it depends on your body, I don't need the Torah to say you do it everywhere. Because it's obvious. So why does it have to say that? Or it says, Itzrich, we need it. Why? Sal kadai techamina, I would have thought. Because where is this Avera stated? Hoil ubinyana de karbanis ksivi. It's put smack in the middle of Sefer Vayikra, which basically deals with the animal offerings. And it was the subject matter was put in by the animal offerings. Why it was put there? Ask God why he put it there. But I would say, since the Avera of eating blood and fats was written in the section of animal offerings, I think it is similar in certain aspects to animal offerings. So, Bisman, the Ika, Korban, Nistar, Chelev Adam, in a time when there is the institution of sacrificial service, when we have a base on Migdash, then fats and blood are prohibited. Bisman deleka korban, but when there is no sacrificial order, when we're in exile, maybe there is no korban. Maybe it's tied into the laws of korbanos. Kamash malon comes the Torah to teach us by saying, b'chol moshvo seichem, where in all your dwellings, even any time, wherever you live, at any time, even when we're not in Eretz Yisrael, even when there is no Beis HaMikdash. Okay, continuing. Moshav the Kasser Hanagabi Matzo Mora Lomali. Now we're going to go to Pesach. We have to eat matzah, we have to eat Morar. And the Torah says, Al Matzah Sumararim Yochluhu. And what does it say over there? It also mentions wherever you live. Look at the note. The Torah says the following. Bechol Moshvo Seichem, wherever you live, Tochlu Matzahs. You will eat matzahs. Now, there's a little problem. It only says matzahs. Where's Mora coming from? So look at the bracket. The verse is not referred to bitter herbs, which in fact is only a rabbinic requirement in the absence of the temple and Pesach offering. It would seem that bitter herbs are mentioned here only because matzah and bitter herbs is a common expression. So really the Gemara doesn't mean the bitter herbs. Does not mean the bitter herbs, because bitter herbs is not always applicable, but it's like a throw-in. You know, whenever you talk about matzah, you talk about more. So we're throwing it in. But if you look in Rashi and Tosos commentary, they even take out the word. Some may even not have it in the text, or it's not significant. So don't be fooled by the word moror. Moror really is not part of the question. It's just a throw-in. Wherever we eat matzah, we eat moror. But really, it's matzah is the issue. Why do you have to say we eat matzah in all our inhabitations, all our dwellings? Matzah is a mitzvah on the body. Again, so what's the problem? So again, we would have thought the wrong thing. It's true, I need it. Kasal kadai techamina. I would have thought, what does the pasuk say in one of the times where we eat matzah? It says, al matzos umarorim yochluhu. It says, on matzah and bitter herbs they shall eat it. What's it? With matzah and bitter herbs you shall eat it. What's the it? The Korban Pesach. When it talks about eating the Korban Pesach, it would appear, it says you eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and more. Oh, so what would I have mistakenly thought? I would have thought, Bisman, the Ika Pesach, when you have a Korban Pesach and a Beis HaMikdash in. Yes, that's when they say mitzvah to eat matzah and more. And Taka, that is true by Moror. Remember, the Torah really only said, the pasuk we showed you, only matzah is l'doro seichem, b'chol moshvo seichem, wherever you live. It didn't say it by morer. The morer said it, but that's not really true by morer. The truth today, when you eat morer, you are not fulfilling a biblical mitzvah at the Seder. You're only performing a rabbinic mitzvah. So we won't forget there's a mitzvah of Mor. So the truth is, Mor is not wherever you live, biblically. So I would have thought, if I wouldn't have had the pasuk that says matzah is eaten in all your dwellings, I would think if there's no Beis HaMikdash, then matzah is not a biblical mitzvah, just like Mor is not a biblical mitzvah. Kamash Malan Torah informs us by saying, Bechol Moshvel saying, eat matzah wherever you live, even if there's no Beis HaMikdash, matzah is a biblical mitzvah, not a rabbinic mitzvah. Yes?
Korban Pesach or matzah?
No, matzah. Korban Pesach, we can't bring it nowadays, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So now the question is, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach, maybe there's no mitzvah of matzah or morer. Truthfully, there is no biblical mitzvah of morer. There's only a rabbinic mitzvah of morer. I would think there's no biblical mitzvah of matzah anymore. If we want to eat it, it's only rabbinic. No, the Torah says wherever you live, meaning even there's no temple, there's still a mitzvah of eating matzah biblically.
Maybe it's splitting hairs, but we keep saying we're saying dwellings, but we're talking about, but the reason we say it is because maybe there's no more Beis HaMikdash, so therefore you need it, but we're using dwellings, which is place, to denote that you have to do it even though something doesn't exist in time.
Yeah, but it's still a place.
Dwelling is place, but we're saying the reason is time.
Wherever you dwell, wherever and whenever.
Whenever.
That's what it means. Bechol, in all of your dwellings. Now expand what that means. If I would ask you, in all your dwellings, you're focused on geography.
Yeah. Why not say through the generations? It says it all the time. Through all your generations.
But even sometimes generations means generations under certain circumstances. It does say that.
Once time, once place. We're using place to say you have to do it even though...
In all of your dwellings. Okay, so not... Do you have a dwelling, Shelley?
No.
Okay, in all your dwellings. Would that apply to your house? Yeah. Green acres, whatever. It applies to your house? Yeah, but there's no temple. So it is in all your dwellings. That's what it means. Whenever Jewish people dwell... Wherever they dwell, also depends on when. Wherever I dwell, but not in October. Well, then it's not wherever I dwell. So, Bechol, we're caught in the English translation. You know, that's the problem. We think in English and translate in English, and we don't allow the Hebrew to expand a little bit. Hebrew has a little bit more expansion. Bechol, in all your dwellings, means in any situation where dwelling is applicable, and it's beyond geography, it's time as well. I hear what you're saying, but that's what it's including. Okay, now we go to another difficult expression. We're not going to focus on Moshav anymore. We're going to focus on another expression, according to some opinions now. Bia, remember we talked about Bia, when it says, when you come into the land, right? So Bia de Kosev Rachmona Gabi Tfilin Upeter Chamor Lomali. It says in the Torah, by the mitzvah of tefillin, and by the mitzvah of redeeming a firstborn donkey. Firstborn donkey, you can't give to the temple, because a donkey is not a kosher animal, and therefore you can't give it to the temple. Firstborn animals you give to the temple. Firstborn donkey you can't, but it still has kedusha. So what do? We redeem it. And you give the redemption to the temple. But the mitzvah still applies nowadays, by the way. You know, there are certain ceremonies of... You know, you have to redeem. In Eretz Yisrael, this mitzvah does apply. So, you have to redeem. So what does it say? It says like this. It says, when you come into the land. Now, putting on tefillin, does that depend on living in Israel? No. Redeeming a donkey, does that depend on living in Israel? The Gemara says, no. They're personal obligations. They don't depend on the land. So now, it says, when you come into the land. I'm surprised it doesn't give us the pasuk over here. Usually it gives you the pasuk over here. It didn't give us the pasuk. I don't know why. But it says, when you come into the land. Now look over here. Very interesting. This, a question of the Gemara, apparently assumes the position of Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that I don't need to... Okay, that's not what we need. Okay, I don't have to go there. Forget it. So anyway, so that there is the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on the body. Why did it say when you come into the land? It should have been coming into the land. Our answer is, we need this. Rabbi Shmuel, We need it according to the way it was taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael. Because what do they teach? They taught over there, Asei mitzvah zu. He made the following drasha. Do this mitzvah. Okay? Perform this commandment. Should be shvilah tikanes la'aretz. Because on account of that, sanctifying the firstborn, on account of that, you will enter the land. Now, look what the commentary says. That's what they taught in that yeshiva. What does it mean? Thus, although the sanctity of the firstborn applies even outside Eretz Yisrael, and even before the Jews entered, it's a sanctity on the animal. It's under where you live. The firstborn has a sanctity. The Torah states that the mitzvah will be performed when Hashem will bring it to the land. Why? To indicate that it's in the merit of that mitzvah's performance in the wilderness that the Jews will be brought into the land. Okay? So that's the idea. It doesn't mean to say, when you come into the land, that's when the mitzvah is obligatory and otherwise not. It means that you'll be able to come into the land. What will be the merit of you to be able to come into the land? For this mitzvah, you'll be able to come into the land. That's how in his yeshiva they learned. Because Taka, you don't need it. You don't need that pasuk to say when you come into the land. The mitzvah is operative before. Rabbi Yishmael is saying what the Torah is saying. There's something unique about this mitzvah. And really, I don't know why the Gemara is only focusing on one. The question was tefillin and peter chamor. But these mitzvahs, it's worthwhile for if you do these mitzvahs, you deserve to go to the land. Why is it different than other mitzvahs? I don't know. That's just the way the Tana Dvei Rabbi Yishmael learns. So that's how he says, that's the extra drusha of how they learned this pasuk. Okay, but that's still not such a perfect answer according to everybody. Bishlama, that's all good and well, Amanda Amar Moshev. According to the one, remember we had this machlokas, we just had it last week, according to the one who says Moshev. Whenever it says Moshev, what does Moshev mean? Kol makom sha'ata yoshvi mashma. It implies wherever you live. Remember, there's a machlokes. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What does Moshev mean? Does it mean everywhere? Does it mean not? So stop. Gemara, I'm sorry. I ran on here. This was the answer to that question, and we're done. We're done with Tefillin and Petach Hamor. I'm sorry, I jumped. I went a little ahead. End of that. Now the Gemara is going back to our previous machlokas, also asking certain questions about wording. Okay? So I'm sorry, you got that? So now we've done three or four mitzvahs. Why does it say these words? And it says these words for these other reasons. Now we go back to that machlokas. What does b'chol moshvo seichem mean? Okay? So we had one says b'chol moshvo seichem means wherever you live. Right? And the other one says no, only after you've conquered the land of Israel. Okay, so now we're going to ask a question on this Tana. Okay, so now Gemara is going to ask the following question. Bishleim alamand over Moshev. When it says, according to the Tana that says Moshev means, Komakam shatem yoshim mashem means everywhere where you're going to live. Now remember, the primary focus of this view was in regard to the law of Chodesh, which the Torah prohibits in all your dwellings. Rabbi Shmuel was the Tanakam of the Mishnah, held that Chodesh applied only in Eretz Yisrael after the land was conquered and settled. Rabbi Lezer held that it applied immediately upon the entry of Eretz Yisrael and throughout the world. Okay? Because he held it meant B'chol Moshev Osecha means everywhere in the world. So, this is all good and well. According to the rabbi, he says, everywhere in the world. Now, what's going on over here? We're talking about a specific situation that happened in the past. Hainu Dichsiv, let's go back to the book of Yoshua now. Going back to the book of Yeshua, as what exactly happened when they entered the land of Israel, and right as they came into the land, there were some very interesting mitzvahs and statements that were made. Okay, what does it say? It says, I'll give you the background, it says the verse states that the Jews who entered Eretz Yisrael, what did they eat when they came into Eretz Yisrael? After all, the month stopped, didn't it? So when the month stopped, when did the month stop? We're going to find out this next Sunday is Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, 7th of Adar. It's going to be good. You're going to learn a little Gemara to prepare you for this. So when he died, the month stopped, 7th of Adar. They're going into Eretz Yisrael in the month of Nisan. And we're going to see exactly. So what did they eat? We discussed, learned this long ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, if I remember. We learned Sefer Yeshua. It was a long time ago, maybe longer. Anyway, it says that the Jews who entered Israel ate the produce of their new land. It says like this. On the morrow of the Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan, the day of the Omer sacrifice. Remember, we talked about Chodesh. Chodesh applies, all the new grains are prohibited until the second day of Pesach. So what does the Torah say? It says the Jews ate the produce. When did they eat the produce of the land? On the second day of Pesach. Okay, now, remember, they just came into the land. They just came to the land. It seems the Torah is pretty particular that they're going to eat the food on the second day of Pesach, implying because there was a problem of Chodesh. You couldn't eat the new grains before that, right? Torah is saying they ate it afterwards, right? So now, why did the Torah have to go out of its way to say this? Well, if you hold, like Rebbe Eliezer, that Chodesh applies at all times. So when did Chodesh apply? When did Chodesh apply? Once God commanded it. And when did he command it? In the desert. Okay, for 4 years afterward, didn't have any grain. It was no problem. And remember, B'chol Moshe Zechem either means, according to Rabbi Lazar, anytime, any place, everywhere, or according to Rabbi Shmuel, means no, only after the Jews conquered the land of Israel, 14 years later, in the land of Israel, and only in the land of Israel. Okay? So, let's analyze. When the Jews just came into the land of Israel, is there a problem of Chodesh or not? It's a machlokes. It's a machlokas. According to Rav Eliezer, that it applies at all times in all places, then the mitzvah of Chodesh applied right as they put their feet on the land. But according to Rav Yishmael, the mitzvah didn't start yet. Because when the Torah said, wherever you inhabit it, means after the conquest and after 14 years, then the mitzvah applies. So now everyone's asking. All is good and well according to Rabbi Eliezer, who learns that when it says B'chol Moshe Seicha means at all times and all places. Now I understand that it says they ate from what? Me'avur ha'aretz mirachas ha'shabbos. They ate from the produce of the land on the day after Pesach. Now I know why the Torah wrote that. Because they couldn't eat it on the day before Pesach. Because mimacharas ha'pachas ha'pachal, they ate it on the day after Pesach. But what about before? But before that, they didn't. That I understand. According to Rabbi Lezer, it makes sense why the Torah said they didn't eat the new crop until the day after Pesach. Alma, what do we see from this? It seems to make a lot of sense going up to the top of 38a. One second, how do I get this? Akarov Omer v'hadar achol. They first brought the Omer offering, and then they ate from the new produce, because they couldn't eat the new produce until they brought the Korban. Here, this verse apparently supports the view that the Chodesh prohibition took effect immediately and was not delayed until Eretz Yisrael was conquered and settled, and the expression all your dwellings then denotes throughout the world. That's very good. Quoting Rabbi Eliezer. Remember, have the machlokas. What does it mean in all your dwelling places? Rabbi Eliezer means whenever, wherever you live. Very good. So when the Savior Yeshua said the Jews came into the land of Israel, they ate the new grain on the second day of Pesach. Why did the Torah tell me that? Just say they ate grain. What do I care what day they ate it? No, because they couldn't eat it before the second day of Pesach because it was already prohibited. However, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Eleman Domer Lamachar, whenever it says, B'chol Moshe Vaseh, it means Le'achar Yushev Yeshiva. It means after the conquest. According to him, B'chol Moshe Vaseh doesn't mean at all times and all places. It means when they were dwellers in the land, which was only after 14 years. So the question obviously is, Nechel Alter, why can't you eat it right away? Why did the Torah have to say they waited till after the second day of Pesach? They should be able to eat it right away. So guess what?
If they were obliged in all places.
But he holds not. Rabbi Yishmael, they're not obliged in all places and all times. When the Torah says the prohibition of eating the new grain is only when? Once you've conquered the land of Israel. So what's the problem?
Are we going to say it took them that long to cross the Jordan?
No, we know that they crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of Nisan. They crossed the Jordan on the 10th day of Nisan. They were there on the 11th. So you're 4 days short. Good try. But 5 days short. But so there'll be a problem those 5 days. So guess what? He doesn't have a lumdish answer. He just has a technical answer. Technical answer. Answer is, lahaya srichi. You know what? They could have, you're right, they could have eaten right away. It's not a problem. But the answer is, they didn't need to eat any food yet. Why? Tichsiv, it says, Ubnei Yisrael achlas haman arboim shana ad boim alayr soshavas. It says they ate the man for 40 years until they came into the inhabited land. What does that mean? As haman achlu, they ate the, you know, let's stop here. You know why I want to stop here? It's a little bit of a long answer and we're getting past the time. So this is what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Gemara is going to discuss that now. So we're going to leave the answer for tomorrow. It's a little bit of a longer. I don't want to rush it because it's getting late already. But we're holding at the question right now. According to Rav Yishmael, that when it says in your dwellings, it means only after you've conquered the land. So why is the Torah saying they didn't eat any of the new food till the second day of Pesach? They could have eaten right away. We'll leave it at that.